God, open your scripture to us on this morning that you would hear, that we would hear your word for us on this day. God, you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Keep our hearts and minds set on you in this, the hearing and proclaiming of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 21. It's verses 25 through 36, and it can be found starting on page 85 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Let us listen to the word of God. There will be signs in the moon, the sun, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. It is December, December 2nd, in fact, and we want Christmas music playing in the background as we window shop. If you're like me, you've wanted that for a long time. We want the Hallmark Channel with its happy endings. We want a light snow falling as we walk through rows of trees searching for the perfect one. And we want that magical moment when we know we have found the perfect tree. We want our Lions Club pancake breakfast, and we want the 8x10 picture with Santa. You can get there. You've already missed it, unless you leave right now. We want to sing Christmas, Cranberry Christmas classics with Mrs. K at the tree lighting on Friday. We want Mary riding down Main Street on a pony. And we want There's No Room in the Inn to quickly resolve with warm respite and caroling here in the sanctuary. We want Joan Frazier's voice, her perfect accent, reading to us the story of the sweet nativity, and our choirs punctuating the tale with familiar melodies during our lessons and carol service. We want to eat soup in Christmas sweaters at the Christmas luncheon, and we want Christmas songs, not Advent songs, all December long. And we want that sweet little new preacher's kid swaddled in cloth lying in a manger on December 24th, replacing the baby doll that has played the part of Jesus for the last decade or more. And alongside him, we want our inquisitive shepherds, our sparkling angels, and a smiling Mary. And as Christmas Eve turns into Christmas Day, we want a candle-lit sanctuary and a robust joy to the world. And on behalf of the deacons and the youth group, I'll remind you that you may also want to fill your homes with the fine aromas of Christmas candles and fresh green wreaths. And also fill your homes with the sounds of Donovan Klotz Beecher's organ Christmas carols, which you can buy on a CD, all of which you can buy during coffee hour today. And we want all of this wrapped in a bow, beautifully, a celebration fit for the season. And here is what we do not want. We do not want Luke 21. We do not want signs in the sun, moon, and stars. We do not want a distressed earth, confused nations, and roaring seas. We want the fainting, the fear, and the foreboding to stop and the heavens to stay firmly in their place. But whether we like it or not, that is exactly what this week's lectionary passage gives us on the first Sunday of Advent, an apocalyptic speech from Jesus. He stands in the temple, and he speaks of terrifying times, and he uses confusing metaphors, and he shocks us with his admonitions. This is not the sweet baby Jesus, but rather the stern adult Jesus. And as the world turns upside down, there are glimpses of God to be found. Glimpses of God, frightening, bold, and beautiful. And while this text may not feel like a Christmas text, it is indeed an Advent text. Advent, it means coming or arrival. When we think of Advent, we think of God coming to earth in the infant Jesus. We think of the scene staged next to us on the south lawn, when in the quiet hours of the night, a newborn cry broke forth and the whole world changed as Emmanuel, God with us, was born unto us. But Advent is also and equally about the second coming of Christ. And that's the Advent for which we wait now, this side of the resurrection. God's kingdom made known on earth as it is in heaven. This is the Advent of Luke chapter 21. And it's also, I believe, the Advent we are all too quick to forget. We sing Christ was born in Bethlehem much more than we sing Christ will come again. And at least for me, it isn't something that I spend too much time thinking about. But that wasn't always the case. I remember as a child being fascinated with the second coming of Christ. I think I've told you before how I would look to the clouds, waiting for the sun to come through and Jesus to be beamed down. I was waiting for them to roll back. I even once took my dog to sit on the lawn with my favorite stuffed animals, certain that Jesus was coming that afternoon. I waited with excitement and expectation. And for a time, I was ready. I was always ready for Christ to walk into the room and say, "I'm back." I was certain I would recognize him, 5-year-old me. I would recognize him. And it would be a bold and beautiful thing, not just for me, but for the whole world over. I think I lost some of that fervor around the time of middle school, which is a difficult time for everyone, but it was also the time when the Left Behind series came out for me. I never read the books, but their popularity in Western North Carolina culture was enough to turn my excitement to foreboding. The books feature the end times, when there is great turmoil and the forces of good and evil face off as God's advent draws near. For me, the books elicit fear and desperation because they focus on who may get left behind. And the author makes it very clear. You do not want to be left behind. But the frightening part of this text is not whether one will be left behind or not. The promise of God's presence in the midst of the turmoil is unwavering. God will be as close to us as Jesus was to his disciples as he spoke to them in the temple, even closer. The frightening part, I believe, isn't whether or not you will be left behind. I promise you, you will never hear me preach anything other than God's undying love for you. God will not leave you. Rather, the frightening part is the idea of a world where our foundations shake and the ground beneath us moves. I am certain, if you've lived long enough, that there are times in your life when, figuratively at least, your world was turned upside down. Everything you knew to be true suddenly wasn't true. The things that kept you grounded suddenly seemed unavailable, and you had to chart a new way forward. Maybe it's a broken relationship or a cancer diagnosis or an addiction, but no matter what it is, it's terrifying. but it's not the end. And if that's where you are on this day, then hear the text tell you this. This is not the end. Something else is being born. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark's parallel version of this text, Mark calls it the birth pangs. Something far greater is being born from this pain. It does not lessen the pain, but it does provide hope. God is present, even and especially in the frightening places. And if personally the ground beneath you seems pretty firm, we must still admit that our world is broken. When we are honest and vulnerable, we know that the world is not how God intended it to be. Famine persists in forgotten places despite abundance in the favored places. Disease still plagues our world. Wars are still waged, and innocent life is still lost. Or to be more concrete, just this week, on our border, children were tear gassed. And in New York City, swastikas were graffitied on a Jewish professor's office walls. And in our homes, our neighborhoods, and our communities, we remain so deeply divided by politics that we've lost sight of what Jesus was about, of the things that should unite us: justice, love, and freedom. In Advent and all year long, but especially in Advent, we must reckon with this reality. Our world is broken, and our need for God in Christ is great. But also, in Advent and all year long, but especially in Advent, we have hope. And here's the hope. God in Christ is coming because God loves us. God wants to redeem us. God wants to draw near to us. God wants to bring this life into fullness, to make earth as it is on heaven. God wants to restore, renew, and revive. In the midst of fear, Jesus calls us to stand up and raise our heads because our redemption is drawing near. That's our business this Advent: to look up, to pay attention, to be ready, to be constantly praying for God's kingdom to break through, and to not let our hearts be weighed down. Our business is to trust that indeed a better world can break forth at any time. That's our business this Advent: to day after day put our hope in the loving God who came in the birth of Jesus Christ, and who in like manner, with humility and love, will surely come again. So this Advent season, let us look for glimpses of God, frightening, bold, and beautiful. Thanks be to God.